Detroit's bankruptcy eligibility trial enters its fourth day today, with Governor Rick Snyder scheduled to testify. So far, federal judge Stephen Rhodes has heard municipal finance experts as well as emergency manager Kevin Orr claim that the city's Chapter 9 filing in July was the only option left to address major cash flow problems and billions in long-term debt. But attorneys representing creditors, which include retired city pension holders and municipal unions, are doing their best to persuade the judge that the filing was premature. That would keep alive hopes that the creditors' benefits may be protected as this situation plays out in court. Now, here to bring us up to speed on the bankruptcy hearing, we welcome Detroit Free Press reporter Brent Snavely. Hi, Brent.
Hi, good morning. How you doing?
Real well, thank you. It's good to have you on. After three full days of hearings now, could you briefly summarize for us what's been heard in Judge Rhodes' courtroom?
Sure. Well, primarily the testimony has been from two of the city's financial experts, investment banker Ken Buckfire and a partner from Ernst & Young. The police chief also testified. But really, there's been a lot of new financial information disclosed in the city's effort to prove that the city is or was indeed insolvent when it filed for bankruptcy. And insolvency is one of the criteria that the city needs to prove or show in order to be deemed eligible for Chapter 9 bankruptcy, or in other words, to qualify for municipal bankruptcy protection.
Mm-hmm. Now, in Friday's paper, you and your colleague Nate Balmy wrote of the proceedings thus far, quote, "There didn't appear to be any major surprises that could derail Detroit's eligibility for bankruptcy." Were there any on Friday?
Yeah, but there was something significant that we view as significant on Friday that I think will be interesting to watch play out. Ken Buckfire, who, again, I said he's the co-president of Miller Buckfire. He is essentially the city's investment banker. He testified that as early as March of 2012, he and Jones Day, the law firm for the city of Detroit, had some preliminary discussions of some kind with the state about what a Detroit bankruptcy would entail and the ramifications of it. That's a lot earlier than generally was previously known. And I think what's going to happen is I think we'll see creditors really pounce on that detail and argue what they have been trying to argue all along, that the city and the state did not negotiate in good faith, that this all was a preordained plan, mm-hmm. and it was all orchestrated from the get-go to drive the city into bankruptcy. I think, however, that you'll see the city attorneys and the state attorneys just flip that argument the other way around and say, no, it doesn't prove that at all. It just proves that we were being prudent, we were exploring all options, and that bankruptcy was always a last-ditch option, and look how long we waited, and look how much we tried all the other options before we finally did it. So it'll be fascinating to watch that play out.
And today, of course, Governor Rick Snyder takes the stand, which is being described as historic. How do you expect that to play out?
Well, I can't remember ever seeing this happen where a governor takes a stand in a public trial of any kind, whether it's, you know, just a legal, it's not a criminal trial, obviously, it is a procedural thing, but it's going to be very dramatic, and we're going to see creditors really, really try to push the governor for details on sort of what I was just talking about with Ken Buckfire, the decision timeline. When were decisions made? When did communications take place between the state and the city, Kevin Orr, Jones Day, about the strategy for dealing with the city's financial crisis, and and what does that show, and does it prove that the city and state were not negotiating in good faith?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they'll be pressing for.
Who determines who testifies in this trial, Brent? Can the union attorneys for, say, AFSCME call witnesses to bolster their case that the filing was premature?
You know, I apologize. I'm a little unclear on that. The sort of the procedures and who the decisions on who was going to testify took place on a day that I was not covering the trial.
Okay.
So I apologize. I'm a little unclear on that.
Okay. We'll point out that there are probably you're one of four reporters for the Free Press who are attending the proceedings on and off.
Yeah, four, yeah. Really five. You know, again, yeah, we're in day four, and the proceedings have basically been going from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day,
yeah.
And we've sort of rotated people in and out so that we're not, so that we can pursue other stories as well.
Sure, sure. We're talking with the Detroit Free Press's Brent Snavely about phase one, the bankruptcy eligibility phase of Detroit's bankruptcy trial. Now, another procedural question. Emergency manager Kevin Orr had meetings with various creditors. I want to say it was late summer. It was August or so. And suggested the city could pay back only pennies on the dollar overall. We seem to be revisiting all of that territory in this phase of the trial. Why is that?
Sure. Well, it was actually on June 14th, Kevin Orr unveiled a 134-page financial overview and proposal to creditors and held a huge meeting at Detroit Metro Airport to present the plan and to present in vague detail, frankly, but to present his desire and sort of plan for dealing with that. And then, to your point, there were some smaller meetings later in June and then in July in an effort to get creditors, unions, bondholders, insurers, to agree to certain concessions. To hear the city tell it, those meetings, those negotiations, those weeks were very intense and yielded very, very little in the way of any tangible results from any creditors willing to give an inch on anything.
Mm.
The flip side of that argument is the creditors, the union attorneys especially, and union officials have said these really weren't good faith negotiation meetings. This was Kevin Orr coming in and telling us what had to happen, and it was a one-way conversation, and they were not good faith negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that dynamic and the detail of those negotiations is sort of what will be playing out in the remainder of this trial.
How long is this eligibility phase expected to last?
Well, the judge initially scheduled 5 days of a eligibility trial. Tomorrow, Tuesday, would be the fifth day. They're running behind schedule. There are additional trial dates scheduled for next week. I, at this point, frankly, it's just been moving a little slower than expected. I don't think they'll get done by the end of the day tomorrow. So I think what we'll see is this trial will carry over. No additional dates are scheduled this week, but it'll carry over into next week.
Let's look at the two possible outcomes here. If Judge Rhodes rules the filing was justified, what happens after that?
Yeah, getting past eligibility for a municipality is a huge hurdle. It has taken a long time in most other Chapter 9 bankruptcies across the country. So what happens is once they are deemed eligible, then the city is indeed, you know, qualified for bankruptcy. It gains tremendous leverage over its creditors at that point. The city then has the ability to develop what technical term called the plan of adjustment. It's a reorganization plan.
Okay.
The city would develop a plan that it would submit to the court on how it plans to deal with its $18 billion in debt. And that's where we get into that cents on the dollar idea and concept, where the city will gain tremendous leverage to force its creditors to accept cents on the dollar for the debts that it owes. The city will still need to get at least one class or type of creditors, whether it's bondholders, unions, or insurers, or something like that, to vote in favor of that plan. So the creditors still have some power in bankruptcy negotiations, but they will have a lot less power than if the other thing happens, which you can ask about, which is that they would be deemed not eligible.
Right. And what happens in that case then?
Gosh, that is perhaps, I think, the best question to be asking. Really, we would be back to square one. We'd be back to the city struggling with immense financial obligations outside of bankruptcy, and they would need to then deal with these various groups of unions, insurers, bondholders, individually in an effort to restructure their debt without the leverage of Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And, you know, I think we've seen how difficult it even is with the leverage of bankruptcy for the city to negotiate. You know, really, frankly, we'd be back at square one with the city trying to renegotiate its debt. And, you know, before the city filed for bankruptcy, there were lawsuits beginning to emerge in a variety of different courts as creditors fought the city's efforts. It would be a tough thing.
And one last question. As this legal drama plays out, Brent, the city continues trying to function. From your vantage point, how is it doing?
Sure. You know, and this is a little bit of, I'll try to wear a little bit of two hats here. You know, I do live in the city of Detroit. I'm a resident. So as a resident, frankly, I have not really seen much of a difference since July 18th when they filed for bankruptcy. I'd say services are the same, more or less, as they were before. We published the results of a public opinion poll a month or so ago that bore out the same thought. The public opinion poll showed that residents do not believe that city services have either improved, but they also haven't gotten worse. So I guess that's okay, but it is kind of a brewing issue for Detroit Emergency Manager Kevin Orr, who, you know, early on when he was appointed in March and in subsequent interviews and public appearances said that under his management you will see services improve. And again, we have a public opinion poll showing that people don't think that there really have been any improvements.
All eyes on Detroit here in Michigan later today, awaiting Governor Rick Snyder's testimony in the eligibility phase of Detroit's bankruptcy trial. We've been talking with reporter Brent Snavely of the Detroit Free Press. Brent, thank you.
Thank you.